My guest at this time is Jeremy Tedesco. He is a senior counsel at the Alliance Defending Freedom. The ADF is well known for defending the religious liberty of Americans of all faiths, but they are in the headlines most often for cases involving Christians, particularly in the business world lately, who are trying to defend their right of conscience, their right of speech, their right of religious expression, as opposed to being forced to perform various services, especially as it relates to same-sex ceremonies. They are representing Jack Phillips of Masterpiece Cake Shop in Colorado. That case obviously getting a lot of attention this week at the U.S. Supreme Court. Jeremy joins me now to talk about how the oral arguments went from his perspective and what he ultimately expects the resolution to be in this case. And Jeremy, thanks so much for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having us on.
What were your expectations going in? Obviously, you've argued these sorts of cases before the court before, and you kind of probably have an idea of where the various justices are at least coming from to begin the case. What was your assumption going in, and how did it unfold for you?
You know, our assumption going in is that the right to be free from compelled speech, the right to have a situation in our country where the government doesn't coerce, in this case, artistic professionals to create artistic expression that goes against their beliefs would be upheld. You know, whether justice is leans liberal or leans conservative, and there's, you know, much debate about, you know, how certain justices would look at the case like this. When you're dealing with cases with first principles like that, I believe that the justices don't just look at the case at hand, but think about the broader implications of a ruling saying that the government has that kind of power, because that's a power we don't give the government in a free society like we live in here. And so, you know, the problem for justices who, some may say, would be maybe predisposed to rule against us, is that the ruling in this case is ultimately going to bind other people. It's going to affect other people. And so, you know, this time it may be, you know, a religious objector to same-sex marriage, but the next time it might be somebody who's liberal, who's objecting to something they don't want to do. And so that's why, you know, I think it's a case. I've always been confident about the case. I can never, you know, guarantee any kind of an outcome, but I've always been confident about the case because those kind of first principles are the things that make our society great. And, you know, we don't want to see those rights and those privileges of living in this country be chipped away.
Jeremy, the position of Justice Kennedy is thought to be pretty significant in this case. And following the oral arguments, a lot of folks who are on the opposite side of this case from you were pretty discouraged based on what Justice Kennedy had to say in oral arguments. And obviously, as we have known from the past, you can't necessarily assume anything based on what the justices say during the oral arguments. But one of the things he said is, "A tolerance is essential in a free society, and tolerance is most meaningful when it is mutual. It seems to me that the state in its position here has been neither tolerant nor respectful of Mr. Phillips' religious beliefs." So what did you take away from that?
Yeah, I mean, that was certainly one of those, you know, kind of breath-catching moments during the argument. I would just say also understand that Justice Kennedy asked difficult questions of both sides and made, you know, comments and during argument from sides from attorneys on both sides that were difficult questions and, you know, telling comments. So it's hard to say, you know, well, this means that Justice Kennedy is going to lean our way or rule for us. But he's right. I mean, and, you know, that's what ultimately what this case is about. How do we live together in a pluralistic society like this with deeply different beliefs about core issues like marriage and what that is? And we don't live together peacefully when one side of the debate has the ability to use the government to silence the other side, to punish the other side. But that's the kind of outcome the state of Colorado and the ACLU, who are opponents in this case, want. That's what they're advocating for. And so, you know, I think Justice Kennedy is onto something in those comments, and I can understand why folks who thought he would certainly be, you know, siding with the state in this case were concerned by those comments. But, you know, those are the right comments, and those are the kind of things we want to see the justices, you know, thinking about and struggling with as they decide, you know, over the next few months how to ultimately rule in the case.
He had another exchange when talking with David Cole, the ACLU attorney representing the plaintiffs here, where he broke down the crux of this issue, because you, of course, are arguing that Mr. Phillips cannot consent to lend his talents towards the same-sex wedding. It's not that he wouldn't serve a same-sex couple in a generic way. And, of course, the other side is arguing exactly the opposite. And Justice Kennedy says it's not about identity. It's about what they're doing. How important is that distinction in this case?
Well, you know, that's a distinction we've made in Jack Phillips' case. And in really all these other cases you mentioned at the beginning, we were handling a bunch of cases in this area. And that's always been the distinction we've made, and it's the right distinction. The Supreme Court has even recognized that distinction in past cases, all the way back 20 years ago, that there's a difference between objecting to the message and objecting to the person. And when you object to the message, you're not considering the person's protected characteristics. And when you object to the message, you're exercising your First Amendment right to say there's certain messages, ideas, or events that I'm not going to promote through my artistic expression or my speech. That's far different than saying, I'm not going to serve you because of who you are. And so, you know, the other side always tries to mischaracterize what these cases are about by analogizing them to that kind of class-based discrimination. Just, you know, there's a bar at my door to certain kind of people. But that's not what these cases are about. As Jack, you know, as we say with Jack Phillips, he serves everyone. There's just certain events he can't create for, certain artistic expression and ideas through his art that he won't communicate. And that's he has a First Amendment right to do that, the same as any other artistic professional does.
Jeremy, you talk about how the first principles ought to be clear, especially to judges who ought to be well steeped in the Constitution. Yet in previous cases, Jack Phillips of Masterpiece has lost. Barnell Stutzman has lost. Brush and Nib in Arizona has lost. The couple that you represent in Minnesota with their video business has lost. So if the principles are so clear, why are the courts in many cases ruling against you, do you think?
Yeah, it's hard to explain. I mean, my best explanation of it is that there have been times throughout American history where culturally imperative things that seemed culturally imperative for at least a temporary time, for a period of time, were used to overrun First Amendment rights. So a great example of this is with the Pledge of Allegiance. Back in the 1940s, we were in the middle of World War. We were, you know, against a totalitarian regime that threatened our very existence. And many states started to make it mandatory that students participate in the Pledge of Allegiance to ensure national unity in the face of this great threat. And so in 1940, the Supreme Court said the states have the power to force students to say the Pledge of Allegiance, and they had no First Amendment right to object. In just 3 years, the court reversed itself and said, no, we're not going to punish dissenters in that way, even in a time where the cultural imperative was even stronger than with same-sex marriage. But I think what you're seeing is there's so much cultural, political, legal momentum related to same-sex marriage that some of these principles are getting muddied and mischaracterized and maybe overrun for maybe a temporary time by lower courts. Yeah, but I think ultimately the principles that make our country great, this ability to live together peacefully despite our differences, are going to prevail, and the First Amendment rights are going to be preserved.
You obviously, as we've established, weigh into this debate in a lot of different ways with a lot of different clients, and we've talked about the distinctions being made in this debate between identity and what you're doing and what tolerance in a free society looks like. Yet often, especially from the other side, it comes down to, well, you're a bigot or you hate people because you don't agree with them or you're not willing to go along with what they want you to do for them in this particular situation. So what's it like to be up against that each day? And how do you think you said ultimately this is going to level out? How do you think we're going to get to that point?
Yeah, I just think it's going to take sustained, efforts on the part of people who are in the position of Jack Phillips to defend their rights. I just think that in the end, you know, most Americans believe and understand that we live in a unique society. That we've been given something special here, something that distinguishes us from all other countries. And, you know, we've even seen since the Masterpiece argument, we've even seen people that that were clearly, you know, aligned with and major players in the press for same-sex marriage come out and say, I don't think the cake artist in the Jack Phillips case, in the Masterpiece case, should be coerced because it's illiberal and it's contrary to the best practices and traditions of our country. It's one thing to have same-sex marriage established as a constitutional right. It's a completely different thing to force people to agree with and promote that idea against their will and their convictions, especially when you're dealing with people, like the Supreme Court said, who have decent and honorable beliefs about what marriage is. And especially when you have millions, literally millions of people who believe this way, not just the Christian faith, but all the Abrahamic faiths, Muslims, Jews, Christians. There's so many people who are never going to stop believing that marriage is between a man and a woman. And the question is, how do we get along in a society where we're going to have that persistent difference of opinion on such a core issue? And like I said before, the path forward can't be that the people who believe that about marriage can be punished and silenced by the government. Remember, some of our clients in these cases, Baronelle Stutzman, faces the loss of everything. She's 70 plus years old. She risks the loss of her home and her life savings. We have other clients who face up to 6 months in jail simply for following their beliefs about this issue. That's not a tolerant society. And, you know, that kind of a rule can quickly be turned around and used to punish people, you know, who on different issues. And so you can't take this ruling, if it's against Jack Phillips, and limit it to just him and just same-sex marriage. And that's why I think ultimately free speech, a free society, tolerance for different points of view will ultimately be the way this plays out, and we will prevail on that point.
Quick two-part exit here, Jeremy. When do you expect a verdict from the Supreme Court? Usually the big ones are in June. And how significant will this precedent be in future cases?
Yeah, I think you're right that it'll probably be June before we hear from the court on this, but it could be earlier, but most likely sometime in June, probably the end of June. Really, there's no way to know how it's going to impact other cases at this point. You know, it's just pure speculation right now. The court could go a lot of different ways. And so it's just going to be a matter of, you know, review the opinion when it comes out and determine what it means. I think, you know, no matter what we can say, if Jack Phillips prevails, it'll be a great step towards preserving and restoring even that great commitment to tolerance of different of people who believe differently than you on core issues. And I really hope that that's where the Supreme Court ultimately lands on this issue.
Jeremy, we'll stop there. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks, Greg.
Jeremy Tedesco, Senior Counsel at the Alliance Defending Freedom. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.